You're listening to Food and Drink, a podcast brought to you by Business News Wales in partnership with Food and Drink Wales, Ambition North Wales and Mentera.
Hello and welcome to the Food and Drink podcast. I'm Gemma Casey, editor of Business News Wales. Glas Cymru Taste Wales 2025 brought together more than 150 Welsh food and drink producers, 3,000 products and hundreds of UK and international buyers. With millions in confirmed sales, the event has once again demonstrated its value as a commercial platform for Welsh businesses. With me to discuss its impact are Philippa Galway, founder of Flavour Moments, Kit Newell, founder of Hive Mind Mead, Neil Burchill and Julie Mills, who are both mentors with the Food and Drink Wales Trade Development Programme. Hi all, and thanks for joining me for this episode. Neil, I'll kick off with you. Tell us, what is Blas Cymru Taste Wales Meet the Buyer?
Taste Wales Blas Cymru is a unique event in the food and drink calendar, and it is unique to Wales in the way that we run the whole event. As you mentioned, it brings together buyers from all over the world and all categories and all styles of retailers and hospitality providers in the UK, together with pretty much the cream of Welsh food and drink manufacturing. The event happens every 2 years. It started in 2017, and in 2025, it was our fifth iteration of it. It's run at the ICC at our premier location in Wales, down near Newport, and it's a splendid environment in which to host such an event. It's the culmination of the work that Welsh government have done with all of the programmes, bringing them together, all of the fantastic support that's available for suppliers. And it brings all of that together in this one event. And at the event, I mentioned that it's unique. Every company who participates has an online meeting diary, which is accessed by both the supplier and the buyer as well. The buyers can look at the diary probably 2 or 3 weeks ahead of when the suppliers can, and they can choose which companies they want to meet. They can do this by looking at an online catalogue, and they can understand what the companies or what they provide, and then they can invite those suppliers for meetings. With about 6 weeks to go before the event, the suppliers are then able to invite the buyers to have meetings. So by the time the suppliers and the buyers get to the show, they already know about 60 or 70% of the people that they're going to be meeting, so they can all prepare and all be ready. At the event itself, the suppliers each have an individual booth. Now, nobody can have a bigger booth than anybody else. It's buyers and suppliers like the fact that it's incredibly equal. Everyone's treated the same. So you all have a booth with a table, a couple of chairs, and a small counter where you can display some of your products. On top of that, they also have a dedicated showcase, which is away from the booth, and all the showcases are together. So every supplier is able to have a showcase of their products, and the buyers are able to walk around this showcase in the quiet without salesmen trying to hassle them and trying to sell them things. And they can look and see what's going on. And often we find that 30 or 40% of the meetings actually happen because buyers stumble upon a product or a supplier they weren't aware about, and it encourages them to fix further meetings. As well as the meetings booth and the diary as well, we have a series of networking events. There's networking lunches, there's a networking dinner, there's a drinks event in the evening where the drink suppliers sample their products to all the buyers and all the guests. And they also then have the opportunity to look at our new product wall, and Philippa will come and tell us about that in a little bit. But we had 200 new product ranges on this wall, which is a phenomenal number. And the buyers all voted for what was their favorite product. As well as that, we had special features on the GI program. We had features on the clusters. And there was a particular feature on our sustainability programs, focusing on carbon reduction and adaptation, both of which are very important, both for Welsh government, but also for the trade as well. And within the whole event, we had, say, 150 suppliers. So there were 120 established suppliers, 30 rising stars. We had 321 buyers from all categories and geographies. And we generated 2,761 meetings, which is an average of 15 per supplier, which is a phenomenal number. So suppliers come to this event with 15 meetings in their diaries, knowing who they're going to meet. They can plan, they can prepare, and absolutely get ready.
Gosh, that's a very busy few days for them, Neil. Thank you. A comprehensive overview there. Julie Mills, you are also a mentor, as is Neil, but tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so it's a real pleasure to be this side of the table. I spent most of my career the other side of the table as a buyer. So I guess I've got an appreciation and understanding of what buyers need and the commercials in the category that they're going to be focused on. So my career started as a buyer for Waitrose. Then I moved to Booth Supermarkets. I was there for about 13 years in a variety of different buying management and store management roles. And then I became their marketing director. I moved to Westmoreland and I was commercial director. So Westmoreland are everyone's favourite motorway services. And then I ran a farm shop in Yorkshire. So I guess having some of that experience from a buyer's perspective has helped me really understand the difference that Glass Cymru provides, because the event is very tailored toward buyers.
And Neil made a point of saying that Glass Cymru is quite a unique event. Julie, in your experience, is it very unusual amongst the kind of things that you might have seen happen in other parts of the UK?
Yeah, I don't think there's an event quite like Glass Cymru, really. And that's the feedback that quite a lot of buyers tell us. They really look forward to it if they've been before and they want to come again and again. It's very different from perhaps the other major way that people interact with buyers, which is typically at trade shows, which is quite an expensive operation. You're there for quite a few days and it's a little bit of potluck. You just hope that the right buyer kind of walks past your stand and glances at you. This really increases your odds of getting an actual meeting with a buyer, and having that sort of 20-minute meeting is really valuable. It's very dedicated. And I think from a buyer's perspective, they get a whole set of benefits that they wouldn't necessarily see at other events like trade shows, where it's very tailored towards them. So a bit like Neil said, buyers get sold at a lot and their attention and time is demanded by lots of emails, lots of requests. The idea of this event is that we organise it and structure it in a way that everything is handled by the online meeting diary. So buyers don't have huge numbers of emails in their inboxes, which we know are overloaded already. So it's very structured and organised. It's also very efficient for a buyer. So we make it super easy for them to find brands and producers. They can filter, they can look for things. Maybe if they're looking for an organic brand in a certain category, they can use the filters to tailor their searches. So they're finding brands that are relevant to them. And also we make it super easy for them. If a brand wants to meet with them and they're not interested, we don't expect them to say anything other than no thanks. They just tick a box to say thanks, but no thanks. It just makes it super easy for them. So they're not having to spend a lot of time with rationale or reasons. And we find that buyers really like that process. And we also hear from them, they love that sort of 20 to 30 minute meeting that they get. It's scheduled in advance. They know who they're meeting. And because we do quite a lot of work behind the scenes training the producers to make sure that they're getting their elevator pitch right ready, that they've done the research on the buyer and they really know what they're looking for, hopefully those meetings are as productive as they can be and it's not wasting their time. But equally, buyers find the whole event very enjoyable. So a lot of the feedback that we get is that they like coming to Wales for the event. They like the hospitality. They really enjoy the very informal nature of the evening event that we put on, which is very relaxed, some delicious food. And most importantly, the organisers make sure that they get a taste of all of the producers' produce across the evening and for the lunch breaks and things like that. So I think people really benefit from actually coming to Wales and spending that time and really soaking up the culture and the passion. And I think if there was one thing that buyers tell us about the event, it's the passion and collaboration that comes from the producers. I think everyone works together in a really unique, collaborative way.
Thank you, Julie. Kit from Hive Mind Mead, tell us first of all a little bit about your business.
Yeah, sure. So we launched our business in 2018. My brother and myself came out of very different jobs into the food and drink world, so needed a lot of support. But yeah, so we are beekeepers and mead makers. So we choose to turn our honey into drinks rather than turning it into jars of honey. So a bit unusual. There's not many meaderies in the UK. Something about five. We make a range of sort of traditional meads. Primarily, it's looking at the more contemporary modern style. So moving it away from the kind of monk and Viking imagery into a more contemporary cider, beer, or wine alternative. And actually, this year and at Taste Wales, we are primarily showcasing a new soft drink that we've launched, a range called Honeyaid. So using honey as a sweetener rather than sugars or artificial sweeteners in a soft drink. So that was our focus this time around.
And tell us a little bit about how your experience was at Glass Cymru this year.
Yeah, it's a really good question. People ask us this all the time, and we have some friends who run businesses in England, and they always go, oh, what have you done? What have you done this time? Oh, this sounds amazing. And it's really hard to put in a nutshell, but I suppose it's all the good bits about a typical trade show and none of the bad bits is how I'd summarize it. So as Julie mentioned, this fantastic kind of dedicated sit down time where you can have really productive meetings with a buyer one-to-one. You're not trying to pounce on them as they stroll past your booth. It's a nice, more organized way of doing a trade show. And the first time we did it in 2019, we didn't really know what to expect. And it was honestly like a breath of fresh air compared to any other type of event we've been to like that.
And how fruitful has it been for you, Kit, to be involved in the Blas Cymru events over the years?
I would say it's massively accelerated our business. I think these might be conversations we'd have had, hopefully, over the years, but certainly not all together on one day in a room. So I would say it's really accelerated our business. It's given us opportunity to even test things out and test ideas out and have these quite informal conversations with buyers, and certainly, and quite formal as well. But I think typically when you do get to finally get in front of a buyer, you've got so much that you want to bombard them with, I suppose, that it can be quite overwhelming. But doing it in this way, it was much more structured and more relaxed, and yeah, it worked really well. We had 21 meetings over the two-day period and then the networking dinner, so that probably counts as a few more. Lots of really fantastic meetings, which gives us a real focus. So we can say that for the next 2 or 3 months, we're going to be solidly following up and chasing up those leads. So it gives real focus to sales and business activity.
Great. Thank you, Kitten. And yeah, the best of luck with those follow-up conversations. Philippa, tell us about Flavour Moments.
Hello, Gemma. Thank you for having me. So lovely to be involved in this. So Flavour Moments is based up in North Wales, where it's currently absolutely freezing. And we make little goat's cheese pearls. If you imagine a bit bigger than a marble, say, and in the centre of them, they have different flavours. So we currently have our core range, which are fig, pear and honey. And then just for Blas Cymru, actually, we introduced 2 new flavours. So we have a gold dusted cranberry goat's cheese pearl and a gold dusted truffle honey pearl. We started trading in April, May time this year. Obviously, there was years of work that had gone on in the background. We currently have about 3 or 4 part-time people helping me out in various aspects of the business. And then obviously I rely really heavily on all the support from the various organisations funded by the Welsh Government, Cowine and AMRC and the Food Technology Centre.
Brilliant. And we'll talk a bit more about that support shortly, Philippa. But it was mentioned a little bit earlier that you were part of the new product wall at Blas Cymru. Tell us how that worked.
As I just mentioned, I've only been trading since April, May time this year. So I fell into the criteria that matched the new product offer. And myself, along with, I think it was around 200 other products, had a big space right in the center of the hall, just showcasing what our new products were. And all the buyers who attended the event, and also the wholesalers, the distributors, everyone who attended basically, was able to vote for their favorite new product. So I was lucky enough to be voted, and I collected that award, the event itself, which was lovely, very unexpected, but incredible. And it just really brought home actually that people are enjoying what I'm doing, and it's a kind of a product that really speaks to people.
And that was the most exciting new product award, Philippa, is that right?
That was right, yes.
Yeah. Great. And what sort of opportunities has that brought with it? What did you get for winning that award?
Physically, I got a lovely plate, which actually went on its first trip to Qatar last week. I was invited there by some buyers that I'd met at the event, so I took that over there. But then I think just I've put it across socials, just helps me promote myself. It's such an accolade to be voted for that and receiving it. I felt really honoured to be included in so many other brilliant Welsh brands that had just started so recently. To have 200 new products in one room altogether really is just, it's phenomenal, really. And it just shows how much food and drink innovation there is in Wales.
Absolutely, yeah. And Philippa, that's quite a journey from April or May this year to then exhibiting at this major event in October. And then you've already been on a trip to the Middle East. Are you surprised at how quickly that journey's gone?
I am, yes. But as I said, it was a good few years in the background beforehand. So I felt, when I did launch in April, May this year, I wouldn't say ready because I don't feel like I've been ready at any point during this journey, but I felt like I was as prepared as I could be at that point in time. And I just think, again, it's really, it's thanks to the support that I've received, because similar to Kit, I came from another career path. I'd never really launched a food and drink product before. I had worked within food and drink a little bit, but I'd never thought about launching a product or understood how any of that worked. So yeah, it's that thanks to a lot of people, really.
Neil, let's pick up on that point Philippa makes about the plethora of support that's available in Wales to food and drink producers. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the support that exhibitors at Blas Cymru would typically have accessed?
Yes, indeed. It's very interesting. And I did talk earlier on about Blas Cymru being unique. And I genuinely believe that the support that companies get in Wales is unique within the UK. In fact, the head of local sourcing and regional buying from one of the largest UK supermarket groups has said on a number of occasions he wishes that there were other organisations in other parts of the UK, like there is in Wales, that can support companies, because he feels what's available to Welsh companies is just so very good. But going into some detail, the sorts of programmes that we have available, we have the Insight programme, which, as the name suggests, delivers insight into the market and the marketplaces, as well as thought leadership on diverse subjects such as healthy eating, through to in-store execution, and very importantly, understanding what Welshness means to consumers, both inside Wales and outside Wales, and to retailers. We have the cluster program, which helps across fine food, drinks, seafood, honey, horticulture, all of which, and sustainability, all of which promote collaboration, experience sharing, and helping companies work together. And one of our colleagues mentioned earlier about how companies are seen to be working together, and that's a real feature of Welsh food and drink. We have the Helix program, which is a programme which brings the four major Welsh technical centres together. And these technical centres provide product development, testing, accreditation, cost reduction services, all in a way that makes them accessible to every Welsh food and drink company, which again, isn't available in other parts of the UK. And then we have Cowain, who help companies at the very start of their journey, right the way through the progressing in their lives as they grow and develop. There are Cowain managers available to help them and help guide them. And then we have the Trade Programme, which is there to take all of the work that's done by all of these other fantastic organisations and mould it into a shape whereby we can help those companies get ready to work with the trade, and then work with the trade to develop the relationships to bring those companies together. So there's a vast amount of support that's available.
And Kit, what have you availed yourself of at Hivemind in terms of all that support that's been available to you on your journey?
I'd say most of it over the past 6 years, 7 years now. So most recently, we've been engaging quite heavily with the Scale Up program and actually getting things from a hobby to a more formalized process, just trying to get things process driven. Also, as we've been speaking with larger customers, just the way that you have to work in general, it all changes. And then basic things like cash flow management and all that kind of more boring stuff. One of the big things about opening your own business, you think, oh, I'm going to be making mead all day. But actually, so most of it ends up being managing the process and the admin. For me anyway, my brother does more of the hands-on beekeeping and brewing. So that's been quite useful to engage with that. But yeah, as Neil mentioned, there's honey clusters. So there's lots of collaborative like buying you can do, or collaborative problem solving, or just you don't feel like you're doing it on your own. And that's been fantastic. And just the support and actually the mentoring as well. So talking to people who've been through it all or done it all before, that's really useful. So it's quite overwhelming how much support there really is. And actually, if you were to reach out to every single bit of it, it would be overwhelming. So I think you've really got to pick and choose, which is a fantastic position to be in for a brand. It's brilliant.
And Philippa, you've already given a little shout out to some of the programmes you've been involved in, but give us a flavour of how they've helped you on your journey.
Yeah, of course. So I originally started working with Cowain, who have helped me throughout, really. They're just incredible. So my mentor there, Louise, she was actually the one who suggested I attended BLAS this year, but also has set up so many different kind of sessions for me. I've had sessions with Julie. I've had sessions, as Kit says, to go through your accounting and costings, marketing, how to set up a website, all of that stuff that really I would have no idea where to start with. So yeah, her support has been invaluable. And we've grown really close, and I can phone her up now at any point of the day, almost, either kind of shrieking with excitement about an email I've received or something that's happened or a bit of a write-up or an article or something. And then at the same time, just phoning her up saying, oh my goodness, Louise, I feel massively overwhelmed. I don't know what to do next. Help me. And she's always there. So it's really nice. And then I've worked with AMRC recently to help with the efficiencies of my machine as I've started to get more orders in. My machine, it's a really efficient machine, but the pearls weren't quite the right shape. So I worked with them developing some new teeth for the machine. And now the pearls coming off a much better shape. And then the food tech centre in Anglesey, which is quite close to us being based in North Wales. That's where I did all my flavour development. They helped with all my nutritional information for the back of package, the actual packaging itself, what needs to be included, testing, shelf life testing, all of that kind of stuff, actually. And Julia, we're in the process now of developing two new flavours as well for launching in springtime next year. So just feel like I'm back and forth to Anglesey quite a lot, but it's incredible what they offer there to new businesses. And it's all very well looking on the internet and seeing what you need to do, what's required and the different rules and regulations. But actually, there's nothing like actually talking to someone who knows it about it and what you should be doing and can just give you a bit of direction and support. So, yeah.
That's a great roundup there, Philippa. Thank you. Julie, from a buyer's point of view, how much of a difference is it from their point of view when a business is surrounded by that level of support, as we've heard from Kit and Philippa? You know, can a buyer tell that there's been plenty of support on offer? Does it show in the product or the preparation for a trade show or something like Blas Cymru?
It's been lovely to see over the years, because the event is every 2 years. As the event has unfolded over many years, I guess the calibre and quality of conversations that are happening are growing, and I'd like to think getting better. So we're definitely getting that feedback, and we get a certain feedback from buyers, and they say things like, we're looking at the quality and caliber of packaging design, and it's really noticeable. I even got a feedback from a buyer that said, there's a couple of brands which we think stand out a little bit here because the packaging isn't quite up to the standard as everything else, but everything else is phenomenal. And it's a real testament to the team behind the scenes who are giving that feedback to brands and saying, these are the sorts of things that buyers are looking for commercially. Your packaging has to be able to communicate your point of difference. You need to be able to demonstrate to a customer why they should buy your product, what problem you're solving. And that has to be done really clearly and very quickly. We know that when a customer is walking into a supermarket, they have often 3 to 5 seconds to buy that product and make a decision. So when we're saying as advisors, these are the things that are really important, and then matching those organisations up with really great calibre designers that we have worked with for many years and know and trust, I think it really is testament to the results that they're getting. So definitely get a lot of feedback from buyers that the quality and calibre is there. And we do work really hard behind the scenes, not just for the event, but all the way through the year. But for the event, there's a great deal of focus on running webinars and training sessions to help producers understand the sorts of things that are going to be important to buyers. And one of the things that made me very proud today is both Fur and Kit did a great job of their elevator pitch. So they were able to very succinctly explain their business. And that's actually really hard to do if you think about all the complexities of the things they need to get across. So they work really hard at communicating very clearly to buyers the key points that are going to be really important.
So, Julie, we've heard how the Blas Cymru Taste Wales event happens every 2 years, but was there anything new or that stood out for buyers about this year's event?
So we always want to make sure, as much as buyers love the event and want to keep coming back to it, we always want to make sure there's something new and interesting and different each time. So a few things that we really focused on this year that were very much around sustainability. We're very mindful that buyers are telling us that it's top of the agenda for them. It's hugely important. And they have very strong measures on their own businesses around sustainability and carbon reduction. So we were very keen to match the work that a lot of producers are doing behind the scenes around carbon reduction and sustainability. And we had a showcase at the event on that very topic. So we were able to demonstrate in very practical, real terms what some of the producers are doing. And also thanks to the support they get behind the scenes from the teams who are supporting them on those programmes. And also, we know that one of the things that attracts buyers is newness. So we had 200 new products at the event. And we actually know there's quite a few producers now who've been to the event time and time again, that they actually tailor their plans for when they're launching new products to make sure things are ready for Blast Cymru, because it's such a great opportunity to showcase things. And then I'm very close to some of the rising stars. They're very close to my heart. They are the new exciting businesses. They're often not experienced at talking to buyers, so they need quite a lot of nurturing and support behind the scenes. But what we get feedback from buyers is there's always someone really special that they see, that they maybe at their very early stage of their journey, but they've spotted them early. They recognize they're doing something really special. And I guess from my perspective, it was lovely to walk some of the buyers around the showcase and point them in the right direction for some of the brands that we're working with. And it was lovely showing them Philippa's product, because it was something that they hadn't necessarily seen before. A lot of buyers were stopping and pausing and saying, that's interesting, tell me about it. So although I know it was a real surprise to Philippa that she won the award, I have to say I had a sneaky feeling that a lot of buyers were sort of putting that really high on the sort of interest list. So that was a great feeling.
Thank you, Julie. Now, we've spent a lot of time here looking back at the success that was Blast Cymru Taste Wales 2025. But Neil, I know that things don't stand still and there's loads in the diary already for food and drink producers in Wales in 2026. Can you give us a taste, if you'll pardon the pun, of what's coming up?
Yeah, there is, as you say, there's quite a lot going to be happening. In beginning of February, we're involved in an on-trade event for the license for the pub trade up in London. From an international perspective, we also will be exhibiting at the Gulf Food Trade Show in February in Dubai, which is one of the biggest and most important trade shows for the international markets. And there'll be a significant Welsh presence of that. There's going to be a plethora of activity all around St. David's Day. There'll be groups of suppliers will be visiting various retailers' head offices to do sampling and have meetings with people in the head offices. We'll be supporting the major wholesalers in Wales with their trade shows. There'll be large Food and Drink Wales stands at those events. We have the Farm Shop and Deli Show in Birmingham, where Wales has a very large stand. And I was at a meeting this morning where we were told that there are a number of wholesalers who actually have said, can we please be located next to the Welsh stand, because that's where the footfall is. And Invest Northern Ireland have asked the same thing, which is such an accolade for all the stuff that Wales has done. And then in the summer, we've got the Royal Welsh Show, where we have the Trade Buyers Lounge, which is upstairs from the food hall, where we'll have a huge showcase of maybe 300 Welsh food and drink brands and bringing in a lot of buyers to come and look and see what Wales is great at doing. And that's just a quick snapshot of what's happening between now and the summer.
Wow, there's a lot to look forward to. I'm conscious of time, so last question for Kit and Philippa, and that is, I'm keen to know what's next for your businesses. So Kit, let's start with you.
So we get told off a bit for making too many new products.
Enthusiastic, Kit.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. So we're going to try and have a bit of a focus on simplifying products and processes and just streamlining things, which isn't a very exciting answer. Having said that, though, we are launching a new product this week. Don't tell Julie, but yeah, we're launching a cherry juice and honey fermented mead. So there's a really lovely style of mead called Mellow Mel, which is a fruited mead. It's quite fun, and that's why we get so excited about making new stuff, because there's thousands of years of mead production and you can pick and choose recipes from that. So we're launching that, and that's going to be quite a seasonal thing, so we're gonna do that up until Christmas. So yeah, we're gonna focus on Christmas currently. And mead does get slightly pigeonholed in a traditional style. It does get pigeonholed for a kind of a festive drink. I think, okay, let's lean into that and really focus on the gifting and the pairings and actually just get it out there. And then we're going to refocus them back onto our soft drinks as soon as Christmas is over. Those will carry us through to the summer, where we have our sparkling light mead. But really, it's just refining processes and recipes and just streamlining things a little bit.
Great. And I hate to tell you, but I got a feeling Julie heard that. You might be in trouble there.
Yeah. Not too much trouble, because it sounds so delicious, doesn't it?
Yeah. We'll give you we'll bribe, but we've got a bottle too to bribe you with.
I was about to say how delicious it sounds. Where can we find it, Kit?
Excellent question. We've got a really good customer base. So we've got about 200 small little independent farm shops, delis, garden centres, cafes. But some of our flagship stockists are places like Selfridges in London, We also make the official mead for the Globe Theatre in London as well. So if you go and watch a play there, you can get some of that stuff. But really, it's lovely little independent, yeah, garden centres, cafes and things, and online as well. And I imagine that's a, is that a fairly similar kind of, is that your farm shop, deli market, similar for yourselves?
It is indeed, yeah. And I, just going back to a question, Gemma, what I'm hoping to achieve moving forward, I think, as Kit said, really extending that network of farm shops and delis, and also the bigger store groups. We're also in Selfridges, but I'd like to build that out a bit more if I can. And then also looking at, as I mentioned earlier, the new flavours. So we've got a pesto and a sun-dried tomato one, hopefully coming soon. And then also different formats. So the pearls at the moment can be used for lots of different things. People use them in their salads, on their cheese boards and grazing platters, melted on pizzas and in pasta dishes, and also as snacking. So I really want to lean into that snacking, kind of adult snacking market. So do a little pack, maybe with some crackers as a grab and go option for the customer. And then also as a result of attending BLASS, and I haven't really thought of it before, but looking into some export opportunities actually. And as I mentioned, I was in Qatar last week because one set of buyers that I met at the event just in conversation said, we're having an event in a couple of weeks' time, we'd love you to be there and showcase your product. And I thought they were just being polite, but actually that literally the day after the show I had an email from them saying, okay, these are the dates, can you attend? So just looking into that as well a bit more, which I guess I hadn't really thought of before attending the show, but I'm definitely looking at now.
One question like that can really change the whole business overnight, and it can come out of the blue. A really good thing about Taste Wales is that things that you haven't even thought of can just appear like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, totally.
Really cool. A bit of a ghost cheese and mead pair so well. So we should definitely do a little...
I was thinking that when you said about the pairings for Christmas.
Yeah, we'll have a chat after and try it out.
I think we've seen that collaboration that you were talking about, Julie, in action here on the podcast. So that is a fabulous point at which to leave it. My thanks to my guests, to Neil, to Julie, to Kit and to Philippa. We look forward to watching the journey of Welsh Food and Drink and your products in particular with interest over the coming months and years. And thank you for listening to this episode of the Food and Drink podcast.